You know, there was this little village preacher who was, you know, he came prepared with his word and he was all enthusiastic and excited about bringing his word. And like today, you know, half the congregation is not here. And that guy had only one farmer came and he sat behind. Can you imagine? So he was wondering, should I preach, shouldn't I? And he asked the farmer, he said, what do I do? Should we call it a day or should I preach? So he looked at him in his drawl. He said, you know, when I call the chicks at mealtime, and if only one turns up, I don't say the rest haven't come, so I'm not going to give you any food. He says, I feed the chicks. So the preacher got the message. And he went into his message with all gusto and he said, I'm going to pour my heart out for this one man, this one faithful parishioner. And he started from Genesis and he went into Noah's flood and they crossed the Red Sea and he put David on the throne and he thundered about all the prophets of doom and gloom. And then he came to the birth of Jesus and the resurrection. And as he went on, the poor farmer's eyes grew wider and wider. And finally, he took him to Revelation and took him to the second coming of Jesus. He was very happy with himself. And in the traditional churches, the preacher goes and stands at the door to shake hands with the parishioner. And he shook his hand and he was very enthusiastic. So he said, how did it go? So the farmer says, you know, Padre, when one chick comes, I don't give him the whole meal. So I'm not going to do that to you today. I'm going to try and stay within and try and give you just what you need. Okay, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and be with us and speak to our hearts this morning. We thank you for your sweet, tender presence that has already been here. And we want to remain in your presence as we get into your word. Amen. I'm continuing from John 15. Remember the last time we did verse 1 and 2, which spoke about the true vine and that he prunes the branches that bear fruit. And we asked ourselves, are we in the true vine, which is Jesus? Yes, there are many vines, but the true vine is Jesus. And he says, and the branches that bear fruit, he prunes. Okay? So, if you have fruit, you want to be a fruity Christian, you will also experience God's pruning in your life. And that's a good sign. We're going to go to verse 4 and 5 this morning. Okay. Which is, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. How do we remain or how do we abide in a digital world where we've got pings and blips and the screen lights up every few seconds and sometimes every few minutes? How do we do this? How do we stay in the presence of Jesus? So many things are grabbing for our attention every time to the point of it being ridiculous. Gone are the days, and I don't know how many of you remember, but if you needed to phone someone, you had to physically get to a phone that was attached to a wire, that was attached to a socket that was plugged into a wall. How many of you remember those days? Yeah, few of us. But today, we carry our phone, our post office, our bank, our clothing store, the banya shop. What else? Come on, tell me. The movie, the cinema hall, everything is in our pocket, is it not? What's that? Calculator, alarm, restaurant, camera, everything available at the press of a button. And in the same way, a press of a button demands our attention. We've got enough stress, haven't we? So can our relationship with Jesus be another stress point? No. Today I want to invite you into the most glorious part of your life and the most glorious part of your day, which is remaining and abiding in His presence. Our relationship with Jesus cannot be a pressure point. In fact, He is the one who relieves us of pressure. Reading from the Message translation, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. It says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out, burnt out in religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how you can get real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Jesus does not come to add to your burdens, but He is your burden bearer. He is the lifter of your heads. Amen? He does not put a heavy yoke on you. He does not put legalistic demands on us. But He is calling us into a love relationship with Him. Abiding in Jesus should be a de-stressor. Okay? When you love someone, you want to spend time with them. You're not timing it. You're not clocking in and clocking out. In fact, time is never enough. Isn't it? For those of us who've gone through courtship days, what's in my hair? Time was never enough. Yeah? You wanted to spend more time with that person. And Jesus is calling us into a restful abiding in His presence, which comes out of joy and not out of duty. If you don't know what I'm talking about, come and talk to us after the meeting. Come and meet with one of us and we'll tell you how you can get into this relationship with Jesus. Yeah? It's wonderful. It's a free gift. It's a grace gift. Let's look at verse 4. Okay. "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself." What does it mean to abide? While our relationship with Jesus is eternal, no one can pluck us out of His hands. You agree? When He's called us, He will keep us to the very end. He said He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. However, the quality of relationship that we enjoy with Jesus depends on us. It's like this. Christy and Esther have got married. They've exchanged rings. Something happened yesterday that now declares them man and wife. However, that does not guarantee that they will have a close, intimate relationship. Does it? Does just this ring guarantee me anything? No, I've got to work at it. There's something I have to do. Jesus has done His part. I need to do something to stay in His presence and to stay abiding in Him. The word abide is also translated as remain. And if you look at this passage, in 4 verses, this word is repeated 10 times. Okay? 10 times. Can you believe that? 10 times. Repetition is something a good teacher uses. And wasn't Jesus a good teacher? And if He's putting emphasis on something, then we better pay attention to it. So the word abide or remain is translated as to stay or to dwell or to make your dwelling place. This has been reflected in the Old Testament a lot. You see it in Psalm 91, in Psalm 84, in Psalm 27. "How lovely is your dwelling place. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord." What's the other one? 46, "As a deer pants for water, so my soul thirsts after you." Okay, this theme is often repeated. It's talking about where you feel secure, you feel relaxed, you feel at home, and this is the place where you have your most intimate relationships. Now, in the Old Testament, the presence of God was confined to one geographical space. People traveled from all over to come to the temple, isn't it? But today, his death on the cross put an end to that. He tore that veil that divided us. He tore it in two, and today we can boldly enter into his presence and to come to his throne room of grace. His presence is no longer confined to a box, and neither is it behind a thick curtain. He has come to dwell in our hearts. He has taken up residency there. What a privileged people we are, aren't we? We are called a people of his presence. And he says, when two or more are gathered in his midst, there I am also. So there is his indwelling presence in us, and there is his manifest presence when we gather like this. However, the verse puts onus on us. Jesus asks us to remain in him. Let's see what we can do. Now, I'm going to show you something. I've come with props this morning. Okay, it says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. Can you see this branch? Does it look good? What color is it? Has it dried up? No, it's looking fresh, isn't it? It's looking good. Will it continue to look like this 2 days from now? Why? It'll dry up and die. Why? It's not connected. Not connected to what? It's not connected to another, to the tree, right? So without being connected to the tree, it can't get water, it can't get nutrients, and this is slowly going to die. And unfortunately, many Christians are like this. For a while, it may appear everything is fine. But after some time, it is going to shrivel up and die. No branch can survive by itself. You and I, my friends, cannot survive without Jesus. And we cannot survive without each other. We'll come to that. So, what is it to remain or to stay connected? It requires commitment and it requires covenant. It's not transactional and it's not conditional. Remaining requires a long-term commitment. It's not wishy-washy. It requires determination, steadfastness, and faithfulness. Another way to say abide is to stay stuck in. Okay? Hebrews 12, another analogy, but really coming to the same theme. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him. Okay? It says, run the race marked out for you. Run to win the prize. There is a purpose. Our abiding in Jesus, there's a purpose. What is the purpose? Do you remember the phrase from last time? It's to be fruity. Yeah? You can't be a fruity Christian unless you abide with Jesus. You can't win the prize unless you keep your eyes fixed on the finish line. Jesus is unconditionally faithful to us and unconditionally committed to us. Good question to ask ourselves is, are we unconditionally faithful and committed to him? Or is our relationship with him a matter of convenience? To be disconnected could mean to be dismembered from the vine, and that comes to this. When we dismember ourselves, we not only sever ourselves from the head, but we also sever ourselves from the body, both of which have the same effect. We'll come to that later. Abiding is 24/7. It's not something that you can switch on and switch off. It's not something, my friends, that we do for 10 minutes or 5 minutes or 15 minutes every morning. It's something that we stay in when we go to school, we go to work, we go to your cooking, you're looking after the kids, whatever it is you do, there is no religious and secular divide in a Christian's life. Do you know that? This is not religious and work is secular. No, your work is as holy to God. Your studying is as holy to God. Your bringing up of your children is as holy to God. Yeah, Priya, every photograph you take, it's glory to your Creator. Isn't it? Doesn't that change the way we do things? Yeah, Alma, every blood cell that you look at, to the glory of God. Amazing. Our life changes. Perspective changes. You know, we live differently. It's a wonderful life. It's Acts 17:28 says, you know, in Him we live and move and have our being. Jesus lived in constant commune with the Father. And that's what He wants us to do as well. And it's something you have to practice. It doesn't come automatically. It's being God conscious all the time. He becomes our frame of reference for everything we do. He becomes our plumb line. He's the one we judge everything by. By the way, do you know He's the best businessman? Most business guys today get their advice from the Bible. The best business books have been based on the Bible. Whatever your problem, I think Andrew referred to it. Struggling for half an hour, shoot a prayer. Within 5 minutes, you find the solution. He comes with you to work, you know that. He helps you with your programming. He helps you with your teaching. He helps you with everything. Do we know this kind of relationship with Jesus? Not too late to start. So Jesus, come with me to work today. Come with me to school today. Come with me as I do the accounts. Help me spot what I need to spot. Help me write the best program. God desires so much more for us, but sometimes we just settle for getting our foot into the kingdom and we do not enjoy all the benefits that are there for us. It's like God's given us a blank check and we haven't cashed it yet. And we're still living on budget. When He says, everything that the Father has given me belongs to you. We just need to tap into it. How do we tap into it? Being in His presence. You know, when we pray, what's the Lord's Prayer? Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come to earth. It didn't say your kingdom come to church. Did it? It's much larger than the church, my friends. Much larger. When we have His presence in us, we take His presence into the world. Do you know that? When He said the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, even as the waters cover the sea, how is that going to happen? We are His glory bearers. When I go to work, His glory comes with me. When we gather here together, it's the kingdom of God gathered. But in the week, it's the kingdom of God scattered. That's when we are salt and light. Isn't that good? Who's taking Jesus to work tomorrow? It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. A branch gets its nourishment and strength and fruit-bearing ability by being connected. Not like this, okay? Being connected. When we are connected to Jesus, what happens is we get His DNA. His DNA begins to flow in us. There's no time to go into that, but when He said, we become new creations in Christ. I want you to think about that when you go home. Do you think that's just a phrase? No, He really, really makes us new creations inside out. There is a transformation that takes place. When we get saved, we believe in Jesus. But when we get sanctified, we believe and behave like Jesus. Okay? When we get saved, we believe in Jesus. But when we get the sanctification process starts, we begin to believe and behave like Jesus. That is the aim, He said. Be holy as I am holy. He's making us more and more like him. What is the DNA of Jesus? The qualities of God. Simple. What are some of the qualities of God? He's loving, he's gracious, he's kind, he's forbearing, he's slow to anger, he's forgiving, he's wise, he's gentle, he's gracious, he's righteous, he's holy. And that's what you can be as well. Amazing? Imagine if we took all these qualities with us to work in our neighborhood. Will it not look different? People will encounter Jesus through our lives. When I live from his presence and act from his presence, I will begin to reflect these qualities. I will begin to have God thoughts, Christ-like thought patterns, okay, where we will think more about others and less about ourselves. I will think about the good in others and not. I will not look to my own selfish interests. It's there in Philippians 2. I will look to develop the fruits of the Spirit in my life. So what are some of the results of abiding? We will be fruity. Yeah? Say, I will be fruity. That's to help you not fall asleep. Okay? Fruitfulness is linked to my relationship with Jesus. It's not about how well I administer programs, how well we lay out the carpets and the curtains and all of that. No. It's about remaining in Jesus. It's very simple, actually. It's so simple. It's when we learn to be in his presence, then we will become fruitful. But the being precedes the becoming. You cannot become unless you first are. Do you know who you are? To remain and be, and then you will become fruitful. This verse tells me that I bear fruit from simply remaining in his presence. Fruitfulness comes from intimacy and heart connection. Transformation comes from intimacy and heart connection. When I am deeply connected to Jesus, then my heart begins to get transformed. Abiding will make me live from his presence and not principles. John 5:39-40. Jesus is actually chiding the Pharisees. He says, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. You know, we can go through religious rituals. We can even read the scripture. But if we don't get into an intimate relationship with Jesus, we're in danger of having knowledge that puffs up, but a heart that is cold and blind. Knowledge of the word is only a gateway to take us deeper into knowing Jesus. Don't be satisfied with that, my friends. Dig deeper. Every day when you read the word, say, God, speak to me. Fire up my heart. Fire up my heart. You know, let your word inform my mind to fire up my heart. Do not let it be mere instruction. There is an invitation today to go deeper. You've been ankle deep, say, God, I want to go knee deep. I want to go waist deep. I want to drown in your love. What a wonderful place to be. Obedience that is cold alone. Obedience alone that is cold and dry and faithless will not produce healthy fruit. The Pharisees had this, okay? They studied, they counted their dill and cumin and everything. And yet when Jesus performed a miracle, who were the ones upset? The Pharisees. They didn't understand his heart of compassion. Let the word help us understand his heartbeat. Say, Jesus, reveal your heart to me. So that, like when you said, the Father and I are one, I only do what I see the Father doing, we too will be able to echo that prayer and say, I only do what I see God telling me to do. I understand his heartbeat. Religion hides or prevents us from knowing the Father, but Jesus came to reveal the Father. So what does not abiding look like? Living to please myself, distracted, religious duty, not committed to the things that Jesus is committed. As we're going through these points, it's always good to do a heart check, okay? All of us, have you been distracted? I have. Okay? I've been distracted. Have I done things out of religious duty? I've done it. Okay? Have I lived to please myself? Yes, of course I have. It's a constant. It's a daily battle. Every day, I have to learn how to lay my life down. Okay? Attracted to worldly pleasures and self-indulgence? Which of us haven't? But we should be able to say, this is a battle I am much better at 6 months hence. There has to be some difference. You can't be in the same place that you were 5 years ago. What are some of the hindrances to abiding? Somebody said, the Bible will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the Bible. Isn't it interesting? How we slowly get cold and we stop reading our Bible. That's a time to do a heart check. What's going on inside? What's happening inside me? Another big one, anxiety and fear. It clouds our thinking. It clogs our heart. Fear and love cannot coexist. As Jesus says, John says, perfect love casts out all fear and will drive away anxiety. When we soak in the love of Jesus, you know, it's like that old hymn that says, and the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Can fear and anxiety exist when the love of Jesus is overflowing in our hearts? Very difficult. Okay? Anxiety, what does it do? It blocks our emotions. It blocks our thoughts. And in an uncanny way, it blocks our relationship with Jesus. We are unable to fix our mind on him because we're constantly thinking about the things that we are anxious about. But you know what he says in Isaiah? He says, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. That is the solution. Keep your mind fixed on Jesus, and you will begin to experience peace that surpasses all human understanding. His presence brings peace. Why? Because he is the Prince of Peace. Peace is not a circumstance. Peace is a person. When you have peace, you have Jesus himself with you. Isn't that wonderful? I want the Prince of Peace with me, Baba, 24/7. This is a very big one. Unforgiveness and offense. This not only builds up walls towards people that you are offended with, but it also affects your relationship with God. This branch could have been connected to another branch. Another branch is another person in the body of Christ. If you look at Romans 12, the body of Christ is made up of many parts, each one having its function. Can I cut this finger and say it has nothing to do with this hand? I can attach this finger to my nose and say it will live? No. But God has deliberately joined different parts to different ones. And then all of that is connected to the head. So my friends, we kid ourselves when we think I can dismember myself from other members of the body and still be connected to the head. It doesn't happen. It slowly begins to affect your relationship with Jesus as well. It does. If you find in worship, you're unable to feel the presence of God. You're struggling even right now to understand what am I talking about. Do a heart check. Do a heart check. What was the first one? Sin. What was the second one? Fear and anxiety. Second, is there offense or unforgiveness in your heart? We cannot love God and hate our brother. 1 John 2:11. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in darkness and walks around in darkness. Serious words. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. You lose your purpose. You lose your passion. You find you've lost your passion for the body of Christ. You've lost your passion for the things that God has called you to. Do a heart check, my friends. Is there some hate, unforgiveness, or offense in your heart? Because I'm not saying it. The Bible says you cannot love God and hate your brother. John uses pretty strong language. You know what he calls you? He says he is a liar and the truth is not in him. Wow. That's there in scripture. Okay? We just need to reflect on that. Are there people that you are avoiding in your life? Or for that matter, even here at Word of Grace, are there people you're avoiding? You say, I love Jesus, I love to worship God, I love the Word, I love the church, I love the worship at the church, but I'll keep my distance from X, Y, Z. I'll only interact with these people and I won't interact with these people. Or I'll just come, I'll say hi, bye, don't get close to anybody. I want to burst your bubble this morning, give you a little shock treatment. Church is messy. Okay? Someone said where there are cattle in the stable, there is dung. When there is cattle in the stable, there is dung. There is mess. How many of you have fought with your blood brothers and sisters? Have you? I've had many squabbles with my brothers, with my brother. I've only one. Okay? We are brothers and sisters. We are going to have disagreements. We will have misunderstandings. And we've got to learn how to sort that out. That is a whole topic that Colin's going to be covering sometime soon. Okay? Church is made up of imperfect people like you and I. But Jesus has shown us much grace that has learned to lavish grace. Why am I spending time on this? Because these are some of the major hindrances to us experiencing the presence of God. What does abiding give us? Beautiful things. Firstly, it gives us identity. Okay? We are called sons. We are no longer orphans. He says he calls us children of God. And he says, and his spirit in us enables us to cry out, Abba, Father. We are chosen by God. He says, I no longer call you slaves or servants, but I call you friends in verse 15. And this gives us rest. And we no longer need to struggle or strive to prove anything to anyone, not even God. It gives us security. Because now I know who I am and I know who I belong to. Do you know who you are and whose you are? When you know this, you can live life bindas, right? It gives you purpose. Where are we? Yeah, it gives you purpose and perspective. You'll be clear about your calling and you will get much joy out of serving Jesus and it will not be a duty. You get joy. Verse 11, if your joy quotient is low, check your abiding quotient. It's directly proportional. The less time you spend in the presence of God, the less joy you will experience. The more time you spend in the presence of God, your heart will be overflowing with happiness and joy and thankfulness, and there will be no place for anxiety and fear. And even more, verse 7 says, answered prayer. If you be, don't have time to go into that, because then when you're in the presence of God, you know the heartbeat of God, you know the will of God, you will pray according to His will. When you pray according to His will, what will happen? Prayer will get answered. Simple. You will begin to see answered prayer. So how do we do this? For those of you who know me or don't know me, I paint. Okay? I love painting. It's the way I relax. But I can't get good at painting if I don't practice painting. Or maybe let's take something you've seen me do. I play the guitar. But if I hadn't practiced in those early years and practiced a lot, I wouldn't be able to play to the level that I can play today. Simple? Yeah? So as a Christ follower, the more I abide with Jesus, the more He will begin to reflect in my life. Acts 4:13 says, they recognized the disciples as men who had been with Jesus. Do people recognize that we had something different? Ah, you're a Christian. That's why you are the way you are. You've been with Jesus. What a fantastic reputation to have, isn't it? She's been with Jesus. He's been with Jesus. That's why their work is different. That's why they relate with people differently. How can we do this? Okay. I'm going to skip that. Yep. Here. Have time. Did I skip tools? I can't see. Sorry. Is that one? Yeah. Colin covered it last week, a week before last. Just have a time alone with God every day. Say this with me. Your repetition is your reputation. What you do every day defines who you are. Not something that you do once in 15 days, once in a month. Okay? Your repetition is your reputation. As you do this every day, you will grow strong in Jesus. Read His word. It's got everything you need. Pray in tongues. If you haven't received the gift of tongues, ask one of us to pray for you. It is amazing. This gift has been given for you to build up your inner man. Worship. Use tools. Use YouTube. Download songs. Buy CDs. Worship along with it. You're traveling by car, going to work, stick your pen drive in or CD. Worship. Practice the presence of God. Learn to be 100% transparent before Him. Don't do religious mumbo jumbo, okay? Say, God, today's been a bad day. You think He doesn't know? Of course He knows. Be honest with Him. Because what is kept in darkness stays in darkness, my friends. But when you bring it to the light, His light can shine on it. Tell Him, I'm feeling disappointed. Boss shouted at me yesterday. I'm not feeling good about that. David is a fantastic example. He was honest before God. He said, smash their jaw, break their teeth. He said all of that, and then finally he says, but God, I know that You are on the throne. And yet he was the most compassionate. Did he not show compassion to Mephibosheth? He was the most authentic guy ever. Let's learn. When we are authentic and 100% with God, we will also learn to be authentic and 100% with each other. Let's not do Christianese. Hi, brother. Praise the Lord, brother. Oh, everything's fine. Can we get real and say, no, it wasn't a good week today? It's not declaring weakness, or it's not giving the devil victory, okay? No. He's saying, but yet will I praise. That's what Habakkuk did. Did he not say, though there are no sheep in the pen? He said, oh, it's full, praise God, it's full. Did he say that? He said, though there are no sheep in the pen, yet will I praise God. That is a sacrifice of praise. Let's learn to be 100% with Jesus and with one another. Write down what God speaks to you. Do you know, if you do this for 20 minutes every day, only 20 minutes, you would have spent approximately 10 hours in the Word and in God's presence in a month. Apply that to anything. Exercise for 20 minutes every day. At the end of the month, it's 10 hours of exercise. Amazing? You want to learn a new instrument or learn something? Just do it for 20 minutes every day. At the end of the month, you've had 10 hours of time in that skill. Let's practice 20 minutes a day with Jesus. The Word will transform you. The Word is Jesus. His presence and His Word are a powerful combination for transforming us inside out. Okay? It's there if you want to just take a thing. Stay committed, stay focused, stay persistent. Don't get distracted, don't give up. Allow God to prune you in unfruitful areas to make you more fruitful. Stay connected with Jesus and with one another, and we will be really very fruitful. I'm going to give us some time to just think about this. Some application. It's never good to let the Word go by without looking at where can this Word challenge my life, and is there something that I need to put into practice? Have I been distracted? Have I been living just for my own self? Is there some sin that is tangling me that I can't run the race? Is there fear and anxiety choking my heart this morning? Is there unforgiveness? Or am I holding some offense that is now blocking even my worship and my time with God? And I'm going to give you time to respond this morning. If you're responding to any of these, I'm going to ask you to do a very bold thing, and that is to stand. I'm standing. Okay, not because I'm standing for some of those things as well. And say, God, I want to go deeper. Would you give me grace for your presence? Well, I've been distracted. Help me come back to you. I've been living for myself. Help me to live for you. Or I have sin that I want to right now let go of. Or I've allowed fear and anxiety to choke my heart. Or I have unforgiveness and offense that has really put a block, heart blocks. Yeah? Allow His light to be shed in your heart this morning. Let Him do a bypass, or let Him do something to just unclog the arteries of your heart this morning. It's brave to stand, thank you. And I'd ask, if you want to stand, you stand, you're standing before God, okay? Pride is something that really keeps us sometimes from the grace of God. It says He gives grace to the humble. Jesus, we don't want to go away unaffected by your word. We want to learn to remain and abide in your presence every moment of the day. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. May that be the song on our hearts and our lips. How lovely is your dwelling place. I pray for those who have struggled with sin, that you will give them grace. You've said no temptation has seized us other than that which is common to man. And you've said you provide us a way out. I pray for grace for those who are battling with sin right now. I pray for grace and faith for those who are battling with fear and anxiety, that they may know all their needs are met in you, Jesus. You are our burden bearer, and you are our great provider. Amen. God, and I pray that we will not be like the unforgiving servant who then went and wanted to extract his pound of flesh when he was forgiven much. Help us to release forgiveness like the lady who understood, was forgiven much and loved much. Help us to be lavish with grace, just like you lavished your grace upon us. Holy Spirit, will you seal this word in our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shall we thank Nawaz for the wonderful message? Though we have come to the end, I still want to welcome each and everyone for attending this Sunday service. Is there anyone who has come here for the first time?